This afternoon is July 17, 1991. I will be interviewing Louita Diehl. Mrs. Diehl, can you tell me your address and the year you were born?
I was born March the 19th, 1915.
Okay.
And
your present address?
My present address is 84 East Hudson, Madison Heights.
Okay, now if you do me a favor, if you could name your family, the children, you were married?
I was married in 1931.
Okay.
Shirley Diehl was born in 1932.
Okay.
And Joyce Elaine Diehl was born in 1934.
Okay, now you've been a long time resident of Madison Heights. Were you born in Madison Heights?
No, I was not. I was born in Bad Axe, Michigan.
Okay.
And my father was a farmer. There was nine of us children.
Okay.
Nine. And my father moved to Detroit in 1928. And worked in Detroit.
What did he do in Detroit?
He drove a truck. He was a cement mixer, cement and repair man for sidewalks. And that he did in Detroit.
Now, did he have familiarity with that when he was in Bad Axe, or did he just pick this up when he came to Detroit?
He picked this up when he came to Detroit. He moved to Detroit. And he picked this up just to do, so I have something to do.
Okay.
Okay?
And then you came to Bad Axe and to Madison Heights in what year?
I was married in 1931.
Okay. And you came to Madison Heights?
I moved to Madison Heights, yes, in 1932.
What was your address in Madison Heights when you first moved to Madison Heights?
84 East Hudson.
84 East, that's your present address,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Now, that's on the south end of the city. Your children went to the Madison schools?
Madison School. I sent three. I had a son, Gary Diehl, was also born in 1942. And I sent those children all to school, and four grandchildren.
What schools did they attend when they went to the Madison School?
Joyce and Shirley came to Madison. When they first started school, we didn't have a school. Well, they went over to the kindergarten.
Ah, good. That's what I want to know.
They went to the kindergarten over on Hudson, right through and beyond Stevenson Highway. That was Oakland School over
okay.
there. And that's where the girls both went to school. Earlier.
Part of the Royal Oak School District.
Yes, it was the Royal Oak.
Okay, that's back when where you lived was really Royal Oak Township.
Yes, it was Royal Oak Township.
Okay. Now, when did you have schools in Madison Heights that they could go to?
Shirley was in the sixth grade when she was transferred over to Madison High School. And that was on John R., the old Madison High School on John R., when she was in the sixth grade.
Could you give me the year for that? Roundabout. Doesn't have to be exact.
Hmm. Let me see, Jerry. There's something. She's sixth grade. She started at five. And what year would have she come over to the Madison High School? Well, she was 32. Born in
close 32. Enough.
32.
You know, it doesn't have to be exact.
Yeah, 32. So she was 35 years old. Oh, 44. Yeah. That was your absence.
About 1944.
She came over to the high school on John R. in Madison Heights. Yes.
Okay. And then the rest of the children.
Was that all grades?
Shirley and Joyce also came over when she came to the sixth grade. Joyce came over to the Madison High School on John R. Okay. And that is where the girls both graduated from, the school in on John R.
Okay.
In Madison Heights.
Okay.
Larry Deal started school over at the Roosevelt School.
Okay.
Gary
Deal, yes. And he started school and went through school over there at the grade school. And then he too came. No, the new Madison High School was built then, where Gary came and went to finish school over there.
Okay.
But what I want to say is, really, I want to tell you about a school over where the big high school, no, it was on Lincoln where the Roosevelt School was. There was a school there that my daughter and sister-in-law came to live with us when she was 12 years old. And she had to go to school over to the old school, and it was a one-room school.
Do you remember the name of the school? Was it the Kendall School?
Yes, it was.
The Kendall School.
Kendall School, over on Lincoln.
Right.
Right.
That school was originally on the property where the Madison High School was.
Yes.
Right on John R. But your kids didn't get to it until it moved over to Lincoln.
It moved over to, that was my daughter-in-law.
Okay, in fact, they were probably very near the last kids that were in that school.
Yes, she was. She was.
Yeah.
Yes, she was. The very last that went to school in that school before. And I thought they moved that school over on John R. I thought they moved that school somewhere else.
They did. They
All
moved
right.
it on 11 Mile and Groveland, where the United Methodist Church is now.
Yes, I knew that.
And it's used as an activity center.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Okay, now, you raised a family in Madison Heights. What did your husband do for a living?
He worked for General Motors in Pontiac Motor Car.
How did you decide to come to Madison Heights?
I had my sister-in-law, my sister had a home and built a garage home up on Tawas.
Okay.
Yes. And that is what brought me over here, so I'd be near my sister.
It wasn't the fact that your husband worked in Pontiac or anything like that?
No, no, no. Really, at first I wanted him to go to Waterford. Some real estate lady wanted us to buy a home in Waterford.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he decided...
So that would have been closer for you, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would
For
have.
His work.
For his work.
Yeah.
And he wanted to come over to Madison Heights. He too liked the area in Madison Heights.
What did you like about it? What attracted you?
Well, because it was, I don't know.
Besides the fact
I
your sister
only
was
had,
there.
I only had three neighbors on my street. There was only three houses on my street
okay.
on Hudson, on East Hudson.
When you first moved?
When we first moved there. Absolutely, just three houses. And I liked it because it was alone.
Kind of like country.
Country. There's
country, but being close enough to the city.
Right. Country and still being close enough to the city.
Because you were a farm girl.
Yes, I was the farm. We had a beautiful garden. Gee.
Did you really?
Yes, we sure did.
Did you have a large lot?
We bought a nice lot. We lived in a small home. We paid $5 a month rent in this small home.
Oh, you're kidding. $5 a month?
Yes, absolutely.
My $5
goodness. A month rent to a real estate company that was on John R. But anyway, when we lived there so long, and 1 year, we lived there 1 year when the real estate company told us that we could go to Pontiac and buy that house for back taxes. So you know where we went. We went right to Pontiac and bought that house for like $350 or $60 for back taxes. So it was ours.
Holy cow.
That was the little house that was next to 84 East Hudson.
Yes, that was the little house next to 84 East Hudson.
So that would have been, what, 82?
Likely 82, yes. But then what we did, we lived in the small house and with two children, no water, no bathroom, no nothing.
Okay.
We.
Yeah, because there wouldn't have been city water then.
No.
You had a well.
We had a well on Brockton where we carried all our water.
You carried water from Brockton?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Did that service all the neighbors?
Yes.
Okay.
All the neighbors in that area didn't have no water, so we carried water. And we, naturally, outside little house. But anyway, what I want to say, we lived there 2 or 3 years when my husband started saving money to buy the lot next door. We didn't buy one lot.
He's a smart guy.
Yes. He bought 3 lots. We paid $50 apiece for these lots. 3 lots next door. And then we had the 4th one because we lived in the 4th one. But anyway, we didn't save enough money. Them days, money was very hard to come by. So we had to save the money.
It's depression times.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. So my husband only worked about 3 days a week. Some weeks, 2 days a week and 3 days a week. So he was a guy that was ambitious and a working man. So what he did, in 1933, he opened a gas station.
Give me your husband's name, just for the record.
Anthony Deal.
Anthony Deal, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he opened a gas station.
The Hudson, the building is still there today. He opened a gas station, and my brother and his wife just had got married. Matter of fact, we took them down to Ohio to be married. They were just young kids, 1933. So he didn't have a job. He did not have a job. So we found a house on Brockton for him for $5 a month. Remember, $5.
Boy, you were good shoppers.
Yes. So they moved into the house behind us, down one house. And then my husband put him to work at the gas station when he was working for General Motors.
They'd switch off.
Yes. And not only that, he helped him. He was good with mechanics and all kinds of little service for anybody in trouble for help, see?
Okay.
Which my husband stayed at the gas station, but he worked around the gas station. And days when Anthony had to work, then he was there all day.
Where was the gas station again? What was the location?
Hudson. Right across the street from 84 East Hudson. Right across John R.
Okay.
Right across the street. The building is there today, and it's a car lot.
Oh, Berkler's used car lot.
Yes.
That's where the gas station was.
Yes, that's the gas station.
Bunkers there for
a
while.
Yeah, it's been different car lot. But anyway, he kept that gas station for about 5 years. It kept my brother and his wife in a job.
And food. Yeah.
And rent for the 5 years, and then he got another job.
Your husband or your brother?
No, my brother got another job.
Okay.
No. Anthony Deal stayed at General Motors. And work was getting a little bit better then. So, you see, 33, 34, 35, 36.
Yeah, we're pulling out of it. We're starting to pull out of it.
We're getting out of that slump. So he was working maybe 4 days or maybe 5. But still he always had a layoff through the summer months where the changeover in cars. They had the changeover.
Right.
So anyway, then one time he thought there was a dance hall over on Lincoln. Just about 3 doors down, that would be west on Lincoln.
So off of John R.
Off of John R.
Okay.
Just about 3 buildings. And I believe that Royal Oak Township bought that building after he had it a couple years. And he didn't make no money, so he quit that.
When you say a dance hall, it was what?
It was just a big dance hall.
Just a big hall.
A big hall. And no drinks, no nothing, you know, popper, light drinks. And then they had a band. They had a band come in. And there was
different band all the time or the same band?
The same band. Just a what do I want to say, a home-style band.
Somebody from Madison Heights. You don't happen to remember who they were,
no,
do you?
No, I really don't remember them. The names.
Country music?
Country music, really? And pop
music.
Okay. Mostly country music, really.
Okay.
So anyway...
Didn't make any money at it, though.
He was losing money, so that only lasted 2 years, and he quit that. So that was up. But he's still working at General Moores. Matter of fact, Anthony Dill put in 31 years for General Moores. So, you know, he came through the bad times and up in the good. He worked his way up to a journeyman millwright man.
Excellent.
And he had 18 or 19 men working for him when he was left General Motors. Yes.
How did he start in General Motors? Did he have a mechanical background, or did he just happen to start
there?
No,
he just happened to start there, and I think he started there, I'm going to say, in 28 or 29. That was before my time. But he was there years before I met him and before we were married.
Okay.
So he just went there and applied for a job and got it. So that's how he got his job at General Motors.
Can you tell me something about the south end of the city? Do you remember any of the businesses that might have been down there or interesting people that might have been down there?
Yes, the Murray's Drugstore right there on the 10-mile road. I thought was very interesting, Mr. and Mrs. Murray. Drugstore was right there on the corner of the 10-mile road and John R.
That would be
that was over on the west side.
It was right next to the wayside. Right next to the wayside.
Oh, okay.
And you know, Johnny Johnson, we knew him well because he started that bar there in Madison Heights.
Okay, Johnny Johnson started
yes,
the wayside?
The wayside, absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now that's what Madison
is. I don't know what it is.
It's a bowling alley
Madison
now, right?
Bowling.
Well, whatever it is. But Johnny Johnson started. And the Perlman's store that was over into Hazel Park, now we used to buy a lot of groceries from them.
That was like a grocery store.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
And he was very nice. And they were really great.
He lived in Madison Heights?
Yes, he did. They lived behind the building. Believe it or not, this is the truth. He lived, there was just a little store. Not much of anything. And they just a room or two in the back where they lived.
Okay.
Perlman's.
Okay.
But one day in about 36, they had a fire. A big fire. So then they filled them a nice big building with a living quarters upstairs. In a nice store downstairs.
Now, it built it where? In Hazel Park or Madison Heights?
In Hazel Park.
Where was the first building? Hazel Park?
Yes, it all is in Hazel Park. Matter of fact, the store, I'm sure, is still there today.
Okay, so the Perlmans, they were Hazel Park residents.
Yes, they were Hazel Park residents, but that is a little area that I know well. But anyway, we used to, and another thing is, we used to have... a bar we used to go to Saturday night, my sister and her husband and my brother-in-law and his wife, we'd all go down to the 11 mile road in John R. There was an open bar there and a dance floor in the summertime when you
there was. Did they have barbecue there?
Yes, they did.
Okay, I know where it is.
Sure.
We talked to the mailman.
Okay.
Mr. Ryder?
Ryder.
He told us about the
yes.
The barbecue.
Yes.
Did you have a good time there?
That was every weekend.
A lot of people?
Our Saturday night. Oh, absolutely. You can get a room on the floor to square dance. They used to square dance.
Really?
And we had, that was our weekend.
Good people?
Good people, yes.
No problem.
No. No, honestly,
because you didn't
no
even have police
fights.
Protection, right?
No, we didn't have nothing. But we just went there, had a few beers, and danced, and had fun, and barbecued, eat something. And you know, another place that was a good place to eat is the 12 Mile Road and John R.
So there was something up here at 12
yes,
Mile?
Yes, absolutely. A big old farmhouse.
Okay.
It was a farmhouse. And when we wanted to go out to eat, that is where we went to eat.
Do you remember which corner?
Yes, I do, right where the Green Lantern is. Absolutely.
Okay.
Right where the Green Lantern was a big old farmhouse at one time.
Do you remember the name of the place? Big old farmhouse, probably.
Likely they called it the farmhouse. But anyway, if we'd have company, that's where we'd take a
really?
Feed because I didn't have no water in the house, no nothing. You know, we just had a little kerosene, three-burner kerosene stove, if you know what I'm talking about.
Sure. Sure.
We had our house with coal and
coal,
wood.
Coal heated.
Coal and wood.
And wood.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do it in the stove in the kitchen?
No. We had in the living area, in the largest room, was an old isinglass. It used to have that beautiful I'd give anything to have one of them today, believe me.
Yeah, my grandmother had, great-grandmother had one of those in Marlette.
Yes.
Yeah, with the chrome around the edges.
Oh, yeah, the chrome around
and the glass
here.
In the door.
And the chrome around here, all the chrome around here, and sit up on legs. Absolutely. Today, it would be...
It'd be worth a fortune. For
yes,
time.
It would have been. And I don't know who we gave it to, but when we was well enough and had the money, we bought a fuel oil stove.
Your house must have gone through a lot of changes since you've been there.
It did. Well, this is still in the little house.
Oh, this was in the little house you're talking about.
Yes, in the little house.
Okay.
Oh, the floors were so cold. I had two little children, and the floors were so cold that they played in their bed. I had a wooden platform in their bed, took the mattress up, and they played in the bed. That's how cold the floors were.
Her and her husband told me they built the house.
Yeah, we built the house.
Okay. Did you build it yourselves?
Yes.
Oh, you did, really?
My husband, my brother from over in Hazel Park, had an old made-over Ford tractor wagon. All it had on it, no top at all, just an old Ford car's what it really was at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just a seat, and over here there was nothing. And we got the permit and the blueprints to build this house next door.
Who'd you get the permit from? You had to go to where to get a permit? Do you remember?
I don't know, but we got the
must have been somewhere in Royal Oak.
And it could be, or it could have been over on Woodward Avenue.
Okay.
Over on Woodward, I think it was, where he went to get the permit.
And then you bought plans.
Yes, we bought the plants. Mm-hmm. And
weren't you scared? Did you ever build a house before?
No, but we were young. We knew we could do it.
You weren't smart enough to be scared.
No, we weren't. You're right. Yep. Absolutely. So anyway, they took the plow and plowed that up where the house was going to be. They plowed it up.
Okay.
And then they had a scraper, and they scraped that dirt out, and we would come in one area, and we'd go out that area, see?
Did you dig a basement? Were you digging a basement?
We dug a basement with the plow and that old tractor, and, you know, one of those scoopers that scooped the dirt out.
Holy cow.
Yes. And when they got down in the clay, guess who rode on the rode on the plow?
You did.
I did.
To make sure it didn't bounce all over the place.
Yes, right, when the dirt got heavy.
Sure.
And too, when my brother wasn't there to drive the tractor, guess who drove the tractor? I did.
Boy, you're a talented woman.
Well, no, dumb. I just, because we wanted that house built.
The way you wanted it.
The way we wanted it. And we dug the basement, just like I'm telling you, and it was hard times when you really, yes, it was. And we started
it was hard
getting
parts.
In 39.
It was hard getting lumber and stuff during that time, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. We didn't have no problem getting the lumber. We started that basement in 1939.
Okay.
I can tell you that. Because they said, oh, you'll never finish that house. You guys are just digging that hole out there for nothing. Well, I said, I'm not worried about it. We'll see what we can do. So anyway, We got the basement dug, and we hired someone to come in and do the cement. This is something we did not know nothing about cement work. We had somebody come in and do the cement work.
And the what, block? Did you pour the basement?
No, they blocks. It was made out of cinder blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And brought the cinder blocks. We got the cinder blocks there. And then they come in and done the building of the cinder blocks. And then we had somebody come in to put a steel beam across the cinder blocks. Then I went over to on Van Dyke and put the order in. I took my plans over to them and showed them what I wanted. I wanted enough lumber.
Lumber. Which lumber do you have? Do you remember? Mile Road?
Yes, on Van Dyke and near the 10-mile road.
Probably Ulrich's lumber.
Yeah.
Ulrich's lumber is on 9-mile road.
All right.
Still there.
They're still there.
Yep.
Okay, all I did was take them the plans, and they sent that lumber out just like that. And no, the lumber wasn't that much money. We was able to pay cash for the lumber.
But you'd been saving, too.
Yes, we had been saving, absolutely saving. Absolutely. And we bought the lumber, paid cash for the lumber, and honest to goodness, my brothers, I had three brothers and friends, and my brother-in-law, Stretch, and they come over, and what we did, we got a Rittler builder contractor from over in Centerland.
You remember his name, do you?
Start with a B. Anyway, he come over, and all he did to this house is tell them men what to do.
Did he stay there the whole time?
No, he worked weekends. All the carpenters worked weekends. But in 2 weekends, we had closed that house up.
You're kidding me.
No.
That was with you and your brother-in-law? And
yes. Everybody worked. Including myself, handed lumber and pushed lumber up to the roof of that house. We worked continuously.
Tell me about the house. How many rooms?
It is 5 rooms and bath and
okay.
A basement. And then before I wanted to retire, I put a dormer up on the top. Because I knew my retirement money wouldn't be enough that I would want extra money. So there's a dormer up on the top of the house.
So you work too, in addition to your husband working. When that was
later on
though.
In life, I put 24 years in working at Royal Oak Beaumont Hospital.
Oh, did you really?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What did you do at Royal Oak Beaumont?
I started in at Royal Oak Beaumont as a helper in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up as a supervisor in the dietary department.
Okay. When did you start at Beaumont? What year?
I started at Beaumont in 1957. Very close. 1957, I think it was shown.
How much different is Beaumont Hospital today than it was when you started?
No comparison. When I first went to Royal Oak Beaumont, we had 250 beds and 27 beds in the emergency.
What do you got now?
Thousands. Yes.
Because they've got two places. They got Royal Oak and they got Troy too on top of it.
Yes, absolutely. Beautiful doctors out there. Absolutely.
Nice place.
Oh, yes. Yes. When you're sick, that's the place to go.
She worked with some of the kids in the kitchen.
Oh, I
They're
loved
no doctors.
They're doctors. I had two young men come in and work for me that are doctors today, and one is Dr. Spurrow. I saw him about 10 years ago at Beaumont before I retired. Dr. Spurrow, he works out of over on Outer Drive, the Jewish hospital.
Sinai.
Yes. I'm saying, beautiful doctor, beautiful young man. And the other man went out of state, so I don't know where he is. Beautiful. These young kids, I love working with young kids, really and truly.
Mm-hmm.
Our night gang in the dietary department, was all high school guys coming in from high school or college.
Nice kids, though.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. Not like we have today. And I would like to ask you a question. Why?
I have no idea, because they don't keep them busy enough. They're not building houses.
Yeah.
That's the reason. They don't have anything to do. Or else they got too much to do.
It's sad. It is sad. I worked with a beautiful group of young men, like I said, going to high, finishing high school and going to college. Really, some of them are electricians. One of the, Bill is an electrician at Beaumont. And Mike is a supervisor in the yard work at Royal Oak. And another one that worked with me is head of, I don't know what it is, but he's out at Tri-Beaumont. But he's up there. He's a supervisor. These guys all turned out to be supervisors in Beaumont. And they started right down on the level, you know. They worked their way in the dish room. And sweeping, mopping the floors, whatever I had, cleaning refrigerators, anything we had to do. And then they worked over. Now, Bill started out in the electric. But now, you believe it, he's got his license. He's an electrical engineer. See, these young kids knew. The young kids of yesterday knew they had to have an education to get somewhere.
Okay.
I told them they just can't make a living. You've got to have the education to go behind you.
I want to get us back into Madison Heights now.
Okay.
When you were here, there wasn't anything. You didn't have any plumbing?
No. No plumbing. No water.
Electricity you had?
Yes, we did have electric.
Okay. What were the roads like?
The dirt, the roads in the spring and the fall, we had two ruts that was that deep. That your bottom of
your
car.
You're making a sign about 18 inches, I'd
yes.
say?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Our car, our driveway, our Hudson Street, was you stayed right in those tracks going in and out.
What happens if you had somebody coming the opposite way? You backed up, probably.
No, they stayed. They knew better. No, they knew better. No, 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 no. The roads were bad. Roads were bad, really.
You... grocery shopping, as far as grocery shopping, you went to Pearlman's. I mean,
yes,
that was the
did.
Only place to go
that
grocery
was,
shopping.
It was only a half a mile. You could walk down there to the store. You know, there was no problem.
Medical care, everybody went to where, Beaumont?
No, we did not. We did not have Beaumont. When we got sick, we went to Olmacher's Hospital in Royal Oak, in top of the... What is that building there on the corner? It's on the west side of Main Street in Royal Oak. No, it's not Main. It was Washington. Washington and 4th
okay.
Street.
Okay.
There was a hospital. Well, really, truly, he's the one that started in out to Beaumont, really and truly.
Oh, did he really?
Yes, he really did.
Okay.
See?
His name was Olmacher.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Hospital. There
How did you
I
get
own.
There? You had a car, right?
Yes, we had a car. We
was there any transportation? Was there transportation that people could use if they didn't have a car? Because not
well,
everyone had
you
cars.
You know what? There. Can I tell you? There was a little streetcar that ran down the middle of Stevenson Highway. A little streetcar. You could walk over to there and take a streetcar and go into Royal Oak.
That's what I was wondering. I heard tell there was a streetcar
oh,
somewhere.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And it would go into Detroit, too, where I used to be able to take the streetcar and go into Detroit.
No, it went down what? Stevenson?
It followed Stevenson Highway.
See, Stevenson went all the way down into Detroit, and then he built houses in Detroit and then built them right along Stevenson all the way out.
Right.
Because Mr. Ryder, the mailman who lived down on Harlow,
yes.
said that he worked for him building houses out this way until they got into Madison Heights.
Right, right. And then that streetcar went right into Royal Oak. Imagine it backed up and went back the other way.
You don't remember a streetcar around 11 Mile and John R., do you? Because we found tracks there.
Yes, there was, absolutely.
There was.
No, I don't know of Levin Mile Road. No, no. The only streetcar I can remember is the one that went down Stevenson Highway.
See, nobody else remembers it either. And I don't
know. That's before my time.
Okay. Now, somebody, one of the people we interviewed suggested that maybe the tracks were from reinforcing, that they were using to reinforce the road when they were putting it in there.
Well, now, I came here, like I said, in Madison Heights, real in 1932. And I've been here ever since.
Did you get involved with the school at all? You said you like kids. Did you get involved with the PTA or parents group or anything like that?
No, not really. Not really. I don't know why, but I just never got interested.
How about church?
No, my husband really was born and raised a strict Catholic. And then I was raised a Methodist.
Okay.
And we just, neither one of us. My girls both went to St. Margaret's Episcopal Church over on Stevenson Highway. That's where they went to church, yes.
Okay,
they did go to church.
Church still there or not?
Yes, it is. It's still there because my daughter was married in there too, yes. And when I would, there was times I would go with them, you know, take them and go with them. There. But to say I went every Sunday, no, I didn't.
What about this area here around John R. and 13 Mile? What do you remember about that?
Well, really and truly, to tell you the truth, John R. and the 13 Mile Road and the 14 Mile Road were J.L. Hudson's and Sears's. That was a farm,
okay.
To tell you the truth. That was a farm.
There really wasn't a whole lot around here.
No, there was not. There was a house there and a farmer there, but no, there wasn't. And on the other side was the same thing. I seen this all built up because this was farmland.
Okay.
And my husband took me out on the 15-mile road to teach me to drive.
15 where? 15 in John R.?
John R. And
okay.
We went to the east. I went out there twice with him. He says, you're just too dumb. You can't learn to drive. Well, we had the stick shift, you know, and the little gas thing that went up and down.
Oh, yeah,
the
that
steering
was tough.
Wheel.
Yeah, that was tough.
And the shifting of the car and that little gas that made it go, and you had your clutch and you had your gas and all that. Well, two trips out there, and he said, you're too dumb. You're not going to be able to drive. The next morning, see, my brother worked to General Motors with him. So the car sat in the driveway. I said, this girl's not too dumb to drive.
Not if you could build a house, you weren't too dumb to drive.
No, that was even before the house. Believe me, I had two little babies. One with and sitting here with a pillow on her lap, about 4 or 6 months old, and the other one on the other side.
In the car.
I backed that car up, and I backed it right out of the driveway and right into the ditch.
It stayed there until your husband came.
No, it did not. The mailman came along right then and there. The milkman. We had a milkman.
Okay, you remember his name? Remember his name?
No, and I don't remember his name either.
Okay.
But anyway, we had the milkman. He come along. He says, looks like you're in trouble. Yes, I said, I'm in trouble. He says, well, let me see what I can do. So he got in the car and just drove it right on out. See, I was afraid what to do with it. So he drove it right on out the ditch. I got in that car and I went down to the 10-mile road and I turned left. And I went on, it seems like it was Russell that went right through to Detroit. And I went right through to Detroit with that car that day. Went to my mother's.
Holy cow.
Went to my mother's, over across 8 Mile Road.
I didn't ask you where your mother lived. Where'd your mom and dad live in Detroit?
I'm not going to be able to tell you the number. They lived on Ham. In the first block, the house is still there.
Around 8 Mile.
The 8 Mile Road.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's close mm-hmm. enough.
And I went right over there on Hannah and put that car in the driveway, stayed there for the day, turned around and come right straight back home. He says, what did you do? How come the cars move? I said, I went to my mother's today. I'm not going to say the words he said. You didn't. I said, yes, I did. And I said, when you tell me I'm too dumb to drive a car, I'm not. This girl's going to drive. And I drove for, I would imagine, in and out of Detroit. Not much in Madison Heights or into Royal Oak. No, I didn't go into Royal Oak. But I used to be able to go to Detroit with the car. And I drove it like that, I think, for maybe 3-4 years like that. Just a little bit at a time. To get nerve enough to go to down to get my driver's license.
And when you say you didn't drive much in Madison Heights or Royal Oak, why not? Because there just wasn't much here?
There wasn't nothing here in Madison Heights to go to. No, really, nothing. No, nothing. Absolutely nothing. No. We had a lumber yard right there, this side of Lincoln, or there by Lincoln.
What was the name of the lumber yard? Do you remember?
Jim's Lumber Yard.
Jim's Lumber, okay.
Yes, absolutely. Jim's Lumber was there. If we wanted any wood for anything, or if I wanted any, even paint, I bought paint to paint the house. When we lived in just the little three-room house, I painted it myself. I didn't need nobody to help me. I just got looking down there and got the paint. And really, you didn't really only go to Royal Oak for a big shopping for clothes or something, you know what I mean?
That was like going downtown.
Yes, it was going downtown.
Did you go downtown in Detroit?
Yes, we did.
Okay, did you go shopping at Hudson's?
Yes, we did. When my girls were growing up, our day after Thanksgiving was downtown Detroit.
Hudson's. That's what we used to do, too.
Yes. And took my children down there to Hudson's, and we spent the whole day down there, had dinner, had ice cream, and everything before we come back home. So anyway, and then too, when I got my license, I used to drive down to Sears and park behind Sears in Highland Park.
Okay, I know where that is.
And take the kids to Bobolo. I would take my kids and come some other kids, you know, maybe 3 or 4 kids, and we'd go to Bobolo for the day, you know what I mean. There, really, we didn't until Shirley and Joyce got into high school where we went to the city often, because I done all their sewing. I made all their clothes, and most all their clothes.
And where'd you get your cloth? Perlman's?
No, they didn't have it. Then I would have to go into Montgomery Ward's and take the streetcar and go into Royal Oak to Montgomery Ward's.
Where was the Montgomery Ward's in Royal Oak?
Right on the corner of Washington and 4th Street, right there on the corner. A beautiful
big store.
Yes, it was. Absolutely. For years and years. Matter of fact, no, I'm not going to say we did. We bought furniture just for the little house. And when we built the big house and finished that up, then I bought my furniture. I went to Triangles and bought carpet and furniture in Royal Oak City. So that is where I bought my furniture. Some of it I still have.
How about your food? You said you had a big garden. Did you grow a lot of food?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. My girls, I have pictures of them when they were at least 6-7 years old. They went to the few neighbors that we had there in Madison Heights and sold garden stuff. Yes.
Did they really?
Absolutely.
Could you give me the names of some of your neighbors? Some of the ones you had?
Mrs. Beach was Mrs. Beach. And Mr. Beach had the little gas station right down on John R. The gas station, and Mr. Beach had the gas station right down on John R. where we bought all our gas, just a little gas station, nothing to...
Which corner of John R.? What mile road?
John R. and between Hudson and Kalama.
Okay.
Hudson and Kalama. Mr. Beach. And Mr. Beach, they lived in the back area until Mr. Beach had enough money and bought the house over on Kalama. A big two-family house on Kalama. And they lived there for a while until he died. He died when he was still at the gas station, Mr. Beach. And then she lived there and she raised 3 children. They were Donnie and Betty and The oldest one was a nurse. She worked at a Beaumont hospital. When I worked at Beaumont hospital, I'm trying to think of what that girl's name was.
Good friends of your kids?
No.
Not really?
No, not really. No, they were older children.
Oh, okay.
My children. Yes.
How about some of the other neighbors?
The only neighbors that my children had to play with, believe it or not, is the Remington children, and they lived on Brockton.
Okay.
And there was, maybe four or five of the Remington children that my children played with. And then the Giffords lived over on the next street over.
Well, you were really far apart. When you
yes.
said you had three neighbors, you had three far apart neighbors.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And the Giffords lived over one block across from Brockton, and I'm trying to think of what the name of that street was over there. But anyway, their names was the Giffords, and they had two boys and a girl. One girl was the same age as my oldest girl. And then we had the Whitsitts that lived way down, closer on Brockton to John R., and they were good neighbors. And they had the telephone, honey. We did not have...
The only telephone?
The only telephone in the whole neighborhood, see? We didn't have... And they, of course, naturally had a big brick house, and they had water and bathrooms. None of us did. So, anyway, let me see. I'm trying to think of another...
What did they do? Did he have a good job? Or
yes, he had a job. He had a job at Chrysler's.
Okay.
He worked for Chrysler's.
Okay.
And they had this big house down there. And she worked at Royal Oak Hospital. She worked at the Royal Oak Hospital. She was a cook in the kitchen at the Olmacher's Hospital in Royal Oak.
Okay.
So,
tell me about some of the other businesses. You remember any of the other businesses around?
The Red and White Store has always been there from when I went to the... moved over there when I was only 17, 18 years old. That's when I moved over there.
Where's the Red and White Store?
The Red and White Store is still there, and that's on Glen. And okay. John R. is still there, and that's always there. But we never went there to do our shopping. We went down to Pearlman's. Pearlman's gave us a better deal, so we went down to Pearlman's every day.
See, I told you you were good at shopping.
Yeah, right. Right.
The Red and White Store was what? That was a grocery store?
Yes, it was a grocery store, but everything was just 10 cents more. And when you're making, you know, $35 or $40 a week, honey, you don't go to the Red and White Store.
Okay. You don't remember who owned the Red and White Store, do you?
No, I sure can't.
No, because you didn't go there enough.
No, I didn't go there enough, and I didn't. We done all our grocery shopping from Pearlman's, believe it or not.
Anybody else?
I'm trying to think who else I could think of there in that neighborhood. I know there was, now we were friends always with the, what was the burgers like?
Burgers.
We were always friends with the Burgers. Now they lived down the street closer to my sister, on my way to my sister's. We knew the Burgers. But our children never played together. Their children was older. So we never played with them. And the Sorings. We always was friends with the Sorings. The Sorings, and believe it or not, with only that few neighborhoods of people there, would you believe it that we had a card party and played cards once a week in the afternoon? Mrs. Soring and Mrs. Gifford and myself, and there was another lady there, and I can't tell you what her name was. The four of us, we would get together and play cards and talk.
Did you get together even in the wintertime, or was it too tough in the wintertime?
It was too hard in the wintertime and too cold.
It must have been pretty lonely in the winter.
Yes, it was, but we had our good old radio, you remember. That's all we had was radio in them days.
What were your favorite programs? Remember any of them?
Amos and Andy.
Okay.
And the Lone... No, I don't think the Lone Ranger was on at that time. No, Amos and Andy.
That's okay. I just wondered.
I just can't remember any of the other shows. There was all kinds of shows, really. Mm-hmm. Yes. Or shows on radio. We had good radio.
Little by little, you had no neighbors to start. When did people start moving, would you say?
Well, I'm not going to... What year, Jerry, what year did they start building those little houses? I know my son Gary went to school over at the Roosevelt School. That's where he started to school, over at the Roosevelt. And but the neighbors, when they came in and built those little homes there in Madison Heights.
When you're talking little homes, you're talking about where?
Like across the street from us.
Right, all the way around us. There,
okay.
Our small homes.
Okay.
Yes. And then there was a builder that came in and built some larger homes there down closer to John R. And they started building them, a little bit bigger house there.
Yeah.
No basements.
Three or four.
Yes.
This was like what, the late 40s probably? Early 50s?
Late 40s, early 50s.
Yes.
Because then Gary was a little bit older.
Yes.
Gary was born in 42.
In 42. Yeah. So it had to be in 42, 43. Oh,
yeah,
yes,
so
it was
about
45. But
yeah.
In 1945. And they built those small houses back on Brockton that give us neighbors. And behind us by Irene's and where Margaret still lives.
Right.
And Pearl across the street in about 45. Yes, that's when they started building.
Yeah.
So that one contractor come in. Now they were nice homes. There was not basements under them, but they were really with water and electric and everything.
And then like the lot, the third lot you sold, and then they built that house.
Yes,
there.
And
that was
and
after I met Gary.
Yes, that was.
Did you get rid of all three lots?
No, just one I sold.
Just the one?
No, I'm sorry. We sold two. We sold the little house on the other side of it. We rented it for years after we moved over into the big house.
Mm-hmm.
And we rented it for years.
That helped a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah, $15 a month, all we ever got for it. And then we had a friend that wanted to buy it. That took the gas station over when Tony closed the gas station. I should say Anthony closed the gas station. There was Mr. Davies took it over after Tony left the gas station. And he wanted to buy the house so he would be close to the gas station.
The little house.
The little house.
Mm-hmm. And he did
so
buy
it. So we sold it to him.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Little house still isn't there, though.
No, that's long gone.
What year did your husband, what year did Anthony get rid of the gas station?
In,
do you remember?
33 and 5. 38, 39. Yes, in 39, when we started building the big house, yes. Yes, and I'll say he got rid of it in 38, because then we had saved enough money, believe it or not.
To build the house. So you used the money from the gas station to build the house.
And from his work.
So you were pretty much all alone from 1928 through about 1945. It was pretty empty.
Nothing. That was just country land.
What did you do with your, say, your waste, your refuse, your trash, your whatever? Where did that go? Did you bury it?
We really didn't have the waste that we have today.
Today?
No, we don't. We had our garden, but we buried, the leftovers from the garden.
Mm-hmm.
We put that down back into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So really, really, we didn't have no garbage pickup, no junk pickup, no.
Do you remember when the incinerator came in?
Yes, I do. And I
I'm telling you what year that was incinerated.
Well, Dad, I think it was about 1955.
Yes.
I was wondering how they sold it to people, because I've heard one story of how the incinerator was sold
to
people.
Well, we didn't vote for it. Now, really, we did not vote for the incinerator here in Madison Heights. No, we did not. No, we were against it.
Okay.
Because, now I'll tell you, you know, when we had trash, I'm trying to think of what we did with the trash, if we had it. Our old cars, we turned them in and sold, you know, to the, well, we bought a car, so we didn't have that. And like any leftovers that we had that was good, we gave it to people that didn't have that much that could use it. Like that old stove that we had, beautiful old stove, we give it to somebody that needed a stove. And even to the kerosene, when I got a different gas stove in the kitchen, we gave that kerosene stove to somebody that didn't have that much.
See, back in those days, people were more recyclers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
They were into recycling.
Right, right. When we bought I bought the gas stove that had the pump on it, where you pump...
Kind of like a blowtorch.
Yes, yeah. Right. We got rid of the kerosene, and that was in the little house. And then we gave that stove to somebody that needed it because it was clean and good, worked good. So we give it to somebody that had less than we had. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have what you wouldn't take it out and throw it out.
No, because you made more use of everything.
Right.
You had to save
everything.
Too long to get it anyway.
Right, right, right. So we didn't have trash. No, we didn't. And all of the waste from the table we buried out by the garden. We had a shovel and dug a hole and just buried anything that we had waste from the table, like chicken bones or bones of any kind. We just buried all that stuff ourselves. We never had no trash. No. Mm-hmm. But you don't have, today you don't have the trash. We didn't have the trash. When you went and bought a bottle of medicine, it wasn't come in a fancy container in a box where you had to throw it away. No, we didn't have that kind of paper. No. Mm-hmm. No. No. And the soap, we got in a soap box, but it wasn't that much. I can't remember where we ever got rid of any of it, unless we buried it all.
Do you remember any of the political people from back then? Any of the people that were...
I remember, what was the woman mayor?
Virginia Solberg.
She was, bless her heart, she was a doctor.
Was she?
Yes, absolutely, she was. We'd go down there and ask for anything, and that's where we got it, right there.
Where did you go talk to her?
Was
this when she was
absolutely.
The mayor?
Yes, absolutely. When she was, before she even got to be mayor, she was in the city hall there on John R.
What did she do, do you remember?
Just bookwork is all I could ever see her with the taxes and that.
Okay.
And we'd pay our taxes there. Sure.
This is in the old city hall you're talking about?
Yes, that's in the old city hall, right there on John R.
What kind of things would you ask her? What kind of things did you need back then?
Well, like when we wanted anything, to know anything, we could go and ask her.
Just find out what was going on.
Yes, like, and I think that we went to her. No, we did not. My husband went to a land contractor over on Woodward Avenue to find out, you know, before we dug the basement or got a permit, or whatever he had to do to get that. And then I wrote to the Detroit News and got what I thought would make a good house, you know. And
plans, because they had plans in the
plans,
newspaper.
Right, they did. And I wrote to the Detroit News and got the plans for the house, absolutely. And he went over on Woodward Avenue. Now, I'm not going to be able to tell you. It was right over there on Lincoln and Woodward Avenue in that neighborhood, and I'm not going to be able to tell you where he went to get it.
To get the plan, to get the permit.
A permit or something that we could build.
Okay.
And I think that we went down to Madison Heights too, the city hall there, to find out a little bit more, because that was in 1939.
Do you remember when the big push came to make Madison Heights a city?
Yes, I remember that.
Did people come to your house and talk to you? Or how did they convince you that they should become a city?
Come to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way with building Beaumont Hospital. We had men come to our house about building the hospital. And we donated for the hospital to go, believe it or not, in Beaumont.
Okay.
And the same way with making this a city of Madison Heights, absolutely. They came to the house and talked to us, you know, and they would come in the evening where they talked to both of us, even though we're just there in a three-room house, they didn't care. They just wanted our opinion and what we thought about it, and we thought it was great.
You thought it was a good idea?
Oh, absolutely.
Weren't you worried you weren't going to be country anymore?
No, I was not worried. I was ready for it to be built up. I was ready for to have more homes in here and to be built up, you know, where we'd have stores to go to shop.
Yeah.
Other than Royal Oak, because that's the only store we ever went to is Royal Oak. Yes. Even when my husband and we bought Larry's bicycle, we had to go down, and we didn't go to Royal Oak, we went down on John R. And then there, they have a little shopping center, like Ned's Auto Supply down there on John R.
Yeah, used to be Ned's, and then it was Firestone.
Firestone.
Yeah.
But when we went down, it was Ned's to buy Gary a little tricycle or a bicycle, you know. We went down there.
Was this in Madison Heights?
No, it was not. That was down on, John R., down towards Highland Park, on your way to Highland Park.
So you had to go all that way just to buy a bicycle.
You're right, we did. Mm-hmm. We didn't see anything we liked in Montgomery Moores.
Kind of an incentive to make it a city when they finally came along and said, let's make it a city.
Right, right. I was all for it. I was all for it. Yes, absolutely. So anyway, our big store was in Royal Oak. We used to go, well, naturally, everything.
Did you go to Farmer's Market in Royal Oak?
Yes.
Did you ever sell anything in Farmer's Market?
No, we never did. No, we never did. But we used to go there and buy vegetables. No, not vegetables, just to go to see what they had. Or we used to buy fruit and strawberries in there, see? In the springtime when your strawberries and your peaches.
Things that you couldn't grow in your own garden.
Right, right. We'd go to the market to buy them. Absolutely. And you know another market we always used to go to too, and I bought many of things that we didn't have enough to can, is into Hazel Park at the 9 Mile Road and John R. There
was
a big market down there. And
Hazel Park was a city, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
It already
absolutely
was a city.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not only that, down in Hazel Park there on the corner was a big open-air market in the summertime. I imagine farmers brought their vegetables in there. Of course, we weren't buying vegetables unless we bought a bushel of tomatoes to can, and I didn't have that many.
Did you do a lot of canning?
Yes, I did. Hundreds of quarts.
Really?
Hundreds.
Mostly vegetables or meat, too?
I canned chickens because when we built the big house, after we built the big house, we raised chickens. We had a chicken yard.
Oh, did you really?
And we raised turkeys, like 100. I'd buy 100 baby turkeys and put them upstairs. And believe it or not, when we grew our turkeys, we lost one baby turkey. We had them that well kept.
Did you eat them yourselves or did you sell them?
We sold them.
Okay. A lot of them or?
100.
Okay. So you sold most of them then?
Yes, we sold.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Anthony was always to make some money, believe me. We raised our own chickens and had our own chickens and our own eggs. And then we raised turkeys there, I think, for about 5 years. You know, that was what he called, retirement or home.
Nest
work.
Egg or...
Just retirement, when he would want to be home at night and go out and feed and water and change them. Them turkeys never hit the ground, never was on the ground. He had wire, like chicken wire, underneath them. Them turkeys never went onto the ground, never. He'd clean out every night when he'd come home under the turkey pen.
And you had 100 of them?
Yeah, we raised them by. We'd buy 100 every year. And Jeremy, maybe I'd lose one or two. Yes. But they're nice. They were nice. They were beautiful.
Okay, now you had turkeys and vegetables. Were other people growing things too around you?
No.
No?
No. But he was just ambitious. We grew most all our potatoes, you know, because we had the lots and probably, and not only that, we cultivated the lot next door to there and next door to the other way, and we cultivated them and put them into potatoes. And
was that, did that belong to someone? Did you have to ask them or rent it from them?
No, we didn't rent it or nothing. We just plowed it up, and they said if anybody come along and was going to build there, well, then we'd just lose. But they didn't. They didn't. We used it for year in and year out, that property there, for garden.
Mm-hmm.
And we grew most all our own, well, naturally, all our stuff, and I'd done a lot of things.
Can you remember up and down 11 Mile around John R.? Is there anything else that was up and down there? Any other stores, businesses, places you might have gone? Because that was pretty much it. I mean, that was the center.
That was really not, there was not much there. There over on Stevenson, there was a bar over there, but we never went to it because we had our own, Johnny Johnson down on John R. and Madison Heights.
Down on the corner.
You're right.
The south.
We'd invite Johnny to come over and have a beer out of his glass.
Okay.
We always had, my sister and her husband and my brother and his wife, we always went out weekends together. We'd get a babysitter and we'd go out weekends together. And down when Johnny Johnson had that bar down there, and the one on 11 Mile Road was gone, well, we went to Johnny's down on the...
Was he a Madison Heights resident, Johnny Johnson, do you know?
I think he was. I don't know. I'm not going to say because I really don't know. I couldn't tell you,
okay,
tell you the truth. No. No. But he was in there for a long, long time. He made a lot of money. I imagine he went to Florida. I don't know where he went.
Well,
he sold out.
I'll tell you what, Louita. It's been an interesting conversation. I want to mention before we turn off the tape that we had two guests with us. The first guest was
Jerry Deal.
Geraldine Deal. And
Terry Ann
is your granddaughter.
Daughter. Mm-hmm.
And Geraldine is your daughter.
Daughter-in-law.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I have one final question I want to ask you before we turn off the tape. I want to know why you stayed in Madison Heights all these years.
I was always satisfied with what Madison Heights had to give me, and the education from our schools were good. I'll tell you, my daughter and my two daughters graduated from Madison High School, and they loved it. Believe me, they were.
Good school system.
Good school system.
Yeah, I didn't ask you anything about the school system.
It was very, very good.
Do you remember any of the teachers, by any chance?
Really, Mrs. Hathman, I'll never forget her. She was a doll. She went to be a principal over in the Hathman school.
School, okay.
And yes, I met her and knew her very well. And I was trying to think of one of the other.
You didn't know a teacher named Hennessy, did you? Helen Hennessy?
I likely did.
Because she taught in the Kendall School.
And you know who else I want? Shirley's teacher from the... Mr. Rowe from the Madison High School.
Okay.
And I liked him, too. He was beautiful, too.
They seem like they care.
Yes, they cared. And really and truly... The Madison District High Schools have been very good to my children and my grandchildren. And that is why I still stay in Madison Heights. Yes, Jerry has three children that graduated. Terry Ann here with the honor. And Larry Deal is going... Yes, both of them. So, and Carrie Dean, yes.
By any chance, do you remember the little building that's on a corner over by Wilkinson? That little brick building right on the corner where we're building the library? Any of your kids ever go to that?
No.
It was a four-room, seventh grade. Yes. It was a band building.
Yes, they had there, the band, yes. The band building, absolutely.
Did any of your children or grandchildren use that building at all?
Oldest granddaughter, Kim, I think she used it as the band.
As the band building.
Yes.
Okay, I was just curious. Being you were down there all that time, I figured you might have might have been there when it was.
But the old
Gary
high.
Gary might have been in there.
Who?
Gary
might have been in there.
What did they use it for?
It was a four-room seventh grade originally.
What years?
1938, 1939. Later on, it became a band building.
I don't believe Gary went there. No, he didn't, Jerry. No, he did not. No, he did not.
And the girls would have been too young for that.
No, they didn't. No.
Okay, just curious.
No.
But I think through the band.
But I'll tell you what, our school systems is good, really, in Madison Heights. I have no complaints about that at all. No.
You like the rest of the city. You don't plan to move.
No, I don't plan to move out of Madison Heights. No, I don't plan to move. No.
Do you feel like it's too built up and too crowded now or not?
No, I don't really see that it is. No, I don't. I like everything that's around here, really.
Good enough.
I don't know, are they ever going to get the incinerator back to...
We don't really know.
You don't really
know? Don't know. That's still pending.
Okay.
Would you like it or not?
Well, I feel for the people that live around there. Now, I don't live right around there to get this waste, but I know. I'll tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care what you're buying. If you're buying hairspray or whatever you buy the packaging of this here material that you buy. And we have too much waste in this junk mail that comes to your door every day.
You're the perfect person to interview because you even got a plug-in for recycling. And Madison Heights is a top recycler in Oakland County. So
yes,
I couldn't think of anybody better to talk to.
No, and I believe in all of that. We all recycle everything. Jerry goes right down there, and I recycle everything that comes into my house, believe it or not.
Deals, I want to thank you for being with us this afternoon.
Okay.
And this tape will be put in the historical collection. And it's been a real pleasure. Thank you very much.